Let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word, open to Exodus chapter 20 as we are moving through the Ten Commandments, this series we're calling Ten. These big ten, these big guiding principles that show us how to live in covenant with God in a way that honors God, that glorifies God. And we have made our way to the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment. That's verse 12 in Exodus 20. Honor your father and mother. So let's stand to honor the reading of this. We're going to read this together. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and you follow along. And the versions that you use following this, I like to ask God to bless our time, and I just get low. If the Lord would give you grace to do so, if you feel led, I invite you to join me in that and ask God to just to be here, to open our eyes, to shape us and mold us so that Mount Gilead does make a difference in our world, so that we make a difference in our world, and we do it, in this case, particularly through our families. Just one verse, very short, very simple. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. God says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Pray with me. Our gracious Father, Lord, we come today just worshiping. And Father, we want to be worshipers. Lord, we live in a world that is sinful and it tempts us to sin. And so much of our lives are lived in that battle that we need a place that we can come to refuel. Father, we need a resting place. And Lord, we know that resting place is in you. So, Father, we come to glorify the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we come to be taught. Lord, we know that to live in a way that glorifies you, we need to know your word. To find the peace that passes understanding, Father, to live with Christ and live in relationship, we need to have you teach us to honor you. And, Lord, today we find out that we can honor you through honoring our parents. So teach us what that means. And give me particular grace into preaching that, because this is a difficult, simple, but yet remarkably difficult thing to practice. So glorify yourself. We want to meet you this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So as we're working through the Ten Commandments, we've made it to Commandment 5, which has meant we've moved through the first four. If you know very much about the Ten Commandments, or if you heard me say this in the past, you'll remember that the Ten Commandments are broken down in really two sections. The first section, the first four commandments, is about how we relate to God within covenant, how we flourish in relationship, how God wants us to treat Him, to think about Him in relation to everything else in the world. But when we move to Commandment 5, the last six commandments are really not about directly our relationship with God, but it's how we honor God and the covenant that we're living with Him through our relationships with others. And I think it's telling that the very first commandment that we have in terms of honoring God through our relationship with others has to do with our relationship to our parents. Could it be that the most important relationship that we have in terms of honoring God is learning to honor our parents? And you may ask, well, wait a minute, what about my relationship with my wife or my husband? I mean, that's pretty important in learning to honor God, or even my relationship with our children. And I, no doubt about that. But you know, your relationship with your parents shapes your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, relationship with your friends in an incredible way. And we're going to see some of that as we unfold this. As I began studying this a couple of weeks ago, I thought to myself, you know, this may be the hardest of all the commandments to preach for me. I say that we're preaching expositionally through this. And what that means is, you know what's coming up. We just verse by verse through this. And some of you, if we talked about conversation comes up. So you've got the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And some of you are like, oh, I can't wait you preach that. I mean, I just love my parents. You just gloat over them. I mean, they were like the perfect parents. They brought you to church every Sunday. They taught you the scriptures. They provided for you. They sacrificed for you so that you could have what they didn't have. They spent time with you. They went to your baseball games, your cheerleading practices, and you just gloat and you just go, man, I can't wait for that, because it's easy for you to honor your parents. It's good. Those are parents who are easy to honor. But all of us didn't have parents like that. And I've talked to some of you that have said, yeah, that's a hard one for me. And it may be because your parents didn't love you like you felt you needed to be loved. It may be that you didn't even know one of your parents, your mom and your dad. Maybe one of them checked out when you checked in. Number of cases where divorces, spouse cheating, divided family, you got thrown into a family that you didn't want to be in. And now when you think about your parents, first thing that comes to mind is not honor, but it's more like hatred. I mean, you're just honest. Or frustration or disappointment. Or maybe when you think about your parents, you turn into that little child you were when you were 8 years old, and you're just fearful again. And so you look at this commandment and you go, that one's not for me. I mean, because my parents abused me mentally and emotionally, physically maybe. And maybe you look at that and we want to look at that and go, this is what he means, Bradley, is to honor the parents who are honorable. You know, honor the parents who really stand up and represent God well to their children. That's really what it means. But you know, if you look at this, there's no exception clause in here. It just matter-of-factly says it. It's very simple. Honor your father and your mother. And there's a promise here that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. There's a blessing connected to this promise. And so very quickly what we see is that this command applies to everyone. Everyone. Honor your father and your mother. Because everyone has a father and mother. Not everyone is a father and mother, but everyone has a father and mother. You won't always be a child, but you'll always be someone's child. So when you look at this commandment, we have to deal with the fact that it applies to me. So what do we do with this command? We obey it. And so how do we obey such a complex, difficult command? Well, I think we start with just talking about what it means to honor your parents. What does it mean to honor parents? What does it mean to honor? Well, a simple definition, it means to treat them as someone deserving respect and attention. Even if they're not deserving of that respect and attention, you treat them as if they are. It actually comes, the word honor here, it actually comes from a Hebrew word that means heavy. These are people who are significant in your life. These are people who you do not take lightly. You consider what they have to say with careful attention. And I think there is in us, at least in the outset, and maybe not even outset, maybe just abiding in us, a desire to honor our parents, to want to be able to honor our parents, that there's something about our parents that attract us to them, that connect us to them, that's just different from anybody else. I can remember when I was playing high school baseball. Some of you guys will be able to connect with this. Get in the batter's box, and there's a lot of voices coming at you, isn't there? I mean, there's the voices of the other team out in the field saying, okay, this is going to be an easy out right here. You come on, so you got those voices. You got the voices of the catcher. You know, he's always running his mouth, trying to talk smack, and so you got to deal with him. And then you got the voices of the folks in the stands, and some folks are yelling, they're for you. Some folks are yelling, they're against you. And if you're going to be a good hitter, what do you got to do? You got to pull a curtain over all that, don't you? Got to pull down. And I was a decent hitter. I wasn't a great hitter, but I was a decent hitter. And I was able to pull a curtain down over all of that. I just didn't hear anything when I was up there. I was able to focus on the pitcher, focus on the pitch. But there was one voice that always was able to make it through the curtain. The voice of my dad. Could always hear my dad when I was standing in the batter's box. Whatever he would say, whether it was don't step out, or whether it was, you know, whatever he had to say, whether he hit it, keep down, keep, you know, drive through it, whatever. I could always hear him. His voice just had this ability to pierce through everything else and pierce through the curtain that I would put down. And I can remember very clearly when the game was over with, and I loved it when my dad would say something positive to me. You say it was a good hit, it was a good game, that was a good play, and I just soaked that in, it just built me up. But I can also remember how hard it hit me when my dad said something critical. How it impacted me. Unlike the voice or the criticism of anyone else. I mean, I could miss a ball and my coach could get mad and throw his hat down and maybe even pull me out of the game. And that would bother me. But nothing like disappointing my father. Because there is something about a connection with our parents that is heavy, that is impactful. We want to honor them. So I think, I guess for me, I try to remember, now that I'm a dad, how impactful my words are to my children. I think this probably would be good for you as well. Don't treat your words loosely. Be very careful what you say to your kids, because they shape them. They mold them. They cut them like a scalpel. My guess is that you can look and you can think back into some of the words that your mom or your dad said to you, and you can still have emotions that have shaped you, who you are today, because of what they said. Be mindful. Because this command to honor is a command that is embedded in us. And it shapes us for the good or for the bad. Our parents, their word is heavy. They're significant. So how do we honor them? Well, let me back up to say, let's look at this command again. It's interesting. Tim Keller, pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, pointed this out. I thought, man, that's very helpful. He notes that know what the command is not. He says the command is, he pointed this out. He said the command is not to feel loving toward your parents. He said the command is not even to see your parents as admirable. And that's pretty helpful, because there are some parents that were so poor of parents that you cannot feel loving toward them. No matter how much you muster that up, no matter how much you try, not that you can't love them, but it's hard to feel loving. It's hard to admire them for who they were and in the lives that they lived and the way they treated you. We get that. And the command, even here, he points out, is not to obey your parents. Because there is a time, certainly, as we're going to see in just a moment, as young children, the command is we do obey our parents. But that's the practical application of the universal principle to honor. Young children, they obey their parents. They honor their parents through obedience. We're going to see that in just a second. But I think we've got to start with understanding that you won't always be able to feel loving toward your parents or admire your parents or even obey your parents, because you're going to grow up and you're not going to be under the authority of your parents anymore. But you will always be called to honor them. Always. So how do we do that? And that's kind of the second division here. How do we honor our parents? Well, I think we do it. The principle is honor. But the practical application of that principle changes during different stages of our lives. There's a restatement of this particular commandment in Ephesians chapter 6. You may want to turn there, because it points to particularly young children. Young children. So how? Let's think about these different stages. How are we to honor our parents as young children? Well, I'll call this, say, pre-teenage years. Young children, honor your parents through obedience. Obedience. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6, and here's verse 1. I think I've got it on the screen for you if you need that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Paul says, here's why I make this application to you. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So the command for children, how do you honor your parents? If you're a child, if you're our children's ministry here, well, this is pretty simple for you. You obey them. When they say clean up your room, you clean up your room. When you say it's time to come inside, you come inside. It's simple. It's time for supper. you don't keep playing your Xbox. You come on down. You show up when it's time for family worship, wanting to learn, wanting to listen. You obey. You love them through their obedience to them. And again, this is that proper application. When it's time to go to church, come on, let's go. You step in line. You're not rebellious. You're not pushing back. You're obedient. Okay? Now, the second phase we'll talk about here, and I'll just call this teenagers. Teenagers honor your parents through respect. Now listen to me. That's not in negation to obedience. Because you're still under your parents' authority. Yes, you must be obedient to them. They have a responsibility over you. You have a responsibility to obey them. But you're also learning to be your own person. You're learning to be your own man, your own woman. You're starting to think for yourself. You're starting to think through issues. And there's going to be times that you disagree with your parents and those types of things. We understand that. But that doesn't mean that you're in a position to not obey them, nor to disrespect them. Because now the level of honor moves up a notch. You can glorify God by the way you relate to your parents. Look, I think this shows up a lot in the way you speak to your parents. Do you speak to your parents like they're important to you? Do that. And by the way, don't do this. Do me a favor. Don't call your parents by their first name. Okay? It's disrespectful. You know, you're not their mom, you're not their dad, you're their child. Okay, so don't call them by that. Call them mommy, call them daddy, call them whatever you call them. Don't call them by your first name. Say yes, sir. Say no, sir. Say yes, ma'am. Say no, ma'am. And when you turn and when you relate to your friends, and you may do that, and that's real easy for some of us to do that, because I remember I said yes, ma'am, I said no, ma'am, I never called my parents by their first name for a lot of reasons, mostly because I knew what would be the consequence if I did anything other than that. But you know, sometimes when I would want to turn to my peers, and I'd complain about my parents, like this, man, my old man won't ever let me do anything. You ever say that? That's disrespectful. It's dishonoring. Or when something like, man, I just be glad that you don't have my parents. I mean, they're terrible. What does that say to your friends about your relationship to your parents? About who they are to you? And what does it say to your friends about who God is to you? Through them. Did you see what I'm saying? So we're called not only as teenagers and as we grow to be obedient, but we're also called to be respectful and honoring and thoughtful about the way we communicate to them and the way we communicate to others about them. And you're going to disagree, look, but you're going to disagree with them. You're going to be your own person. They're going to not want you to go to some places you want to go. You're going to want to be with some friends that they don't want you to be with. They know that. But you need to realize that God has put them, step in their shoes for a moment. God has put them in your welfare, your well-being, your growth, spiritual growth, physical growth. In their hands, they are responsible for you. And here's the thing. They're going to restrict your freedoms at times. And here's why. Listen very carefully. It took me a long time to get this. They know better than you do. And you're like, no, they don't. Yes, they do. They know better than you. When I was your age, I didn't think my parents knew better than me. There were some times, I even look back at some things my parents let me do, and I think, my goodness, what in the world were they thinking? You ever think that? I mean, I could go a long way there, but I'm not going to for the sake of honoring my own folks. but they do, and here's why they know better than you. Because they've made mistakes that you hadn't made yet. They've hurt themselves. They felt that pain. And because they love you so much, they don't want you to feel the same pain that they do. They don't want you to go through the same hurt that they went through. Right? They've made those mistakes. Because they made them, they do. They know better than you. Look, man, I wish the one day I'm teaching this, my children are not here. Don't be so foolish that you have to buy every lesson you ever learn. All right, you don't want to have to buy every lesson. This is a foolish person that has to make every mistake that their parents made, have to make every mistake that their friends make in order to learn what's good and what's right and what brings joy and hope and life and all. You don't have to buy every lesson. Learn from the mistakes that your parents make. When they say, look, I don't want you to do this, instead of just throwing a fit and pushing back, sit down with them and say, Mama, Daddy, how did you learn this lesson? If we want to talk about why, you know, I'm not being disrespectful. Just teach me, show me, because I don't want to have to buy that. You can learn it from them. And of course, I understand that you're going to be like sometimes, well, Johnny gets to do it. Susie gets to do it. They get to go to the party. They get to go to the game. They get to go to the movie. You fill in the blank. I don't know. And I know how fights go with teenagers and children. I hadn't had any teenagers yet. I'm going to have three. Y'all pray for me. But I've been a teenager. And I know the way I felt when I'd push back against my parents and say, oh, y'all won't let me do this. Y'all won't let me, because you don't love me. Johnny gets to do it. His parents love him. Johnny gets to go. He never has any restrictions on what he gets to do, where he gets to go. He never has any discipline. He comes home whenever he wants to come home. His parents love him. Listen to me. Biblically, his parents hate him. His parents, that's how parents act who hate their children, the Word of God says. Proverbs 13:24, put on the screen. You know, there's an old cliche that says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, that's not actually a biblical verse. The verse is actually Proverbs 13:24. It's not those who spare the rod that spoil the child. It's those who spare the rod who hates his child. Whoever spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him. What do parents do that love their children, love their teenagers? They are diligent to discipline. That means they guard you, they protect you, they teach you, they love you. They restrict your freedoms. Yes, you're gaining new freedoms, but they do restrict them because they love you. What's another way you can honor your parents? Begin to express your freedoms in ways that honor them. You know, some of you are driving now for the first time. And that's a wonderful thing. But the thing that scares parents to death about when their children start driving is that they lose a measure of control. That's just the truth. You lose a measure of control. And that scares us. But you know what you can do to honor your parents? If you've been taught where to go, you've been taught how to act respectfully and honoring, your parents have given you values. I've gotten some values from my home that's RUSHING, responsible, uncompromising, biblical truth, those kind of things. And I want Noah, he will honor me if when he leaves in his car, he goes to school, he goes to game, whatever, if he remembers the values that I've taught him as a child and he begins to live them out. You can take those freedoms and live the values out that your parents have taught you. Now, some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, you just don't know my parents like I do. You're right, I don't. Pastor, they are just unreasonable. They will not sit down. They will not talk. They may not. They fight and they argue and I can't get in a word edgewise. It may be right. They bring out the worst in me. They may. Can I tell you something about your mom and dad? They are sinners. They make mistakes constantly. And you know, Jesus even had to deal with that with his parents. Jesus, if you think it's hard being a sinner in dealing with sinful parents, try being sinless in dealing with sinful parents. Because that's where Jesus was. Look at Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 and following here. Some background here. Mary and Joseph, they had been to Jerusalem and been worshiping there. And on the way home, they lose Jesus. Can you imagine? You've been trusted with the Son of God, and you lose him. Mary thought Joseph had him. Joseph thought Mary had him. They're a day away, and they're like, well, you don't have him. You don't have that. And I know for me, I don't know anything about losing children. But now, if you're a guest here, that's kind of an inside joke. I lost one of my children a few weeks ago. Just left him in the car, that's all. But I'm in good company. I mean, Joseph, the earthly father of the Son of God, and he makes the mistake. So anyway, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have something to identify with Joseph with. I'm gonna, me and you, buddy. All right. So here's what happens. So they turn around and they go back and looking for him. And so ultimately they find him. And what he's doing is he's actually teaching in the temple. He's 12 years old. And all the wise men of the temple, they're listening to him, and he's teaching. And they show up, and I can just imagine they're like, what are you doing? And so this is where the story picks up in Scripture. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? And I just think, come on, Jesus. Why were you looking? You know why. He's 12, okay? He's sinless, but he's still 12. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And watch this. You think your parents don't understand you? Watch this. And they what? Did not understand the saying that he spoke to him. Spoke to them. They didn't understand. So they show up, Jesus is teaching, he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's going to be the Redeemer of the world. And they show up and they're like, he's like, why? Why are y'all upset? You know, why have you been looking for me? You knew where I was going to be. I am the Son of God, you know that, right? And can you imagine how Joseph responded to that? I don't know that Joseph responded to this way, but if I was Joseph, it would have been very much like, well, let me tell you something, Son of God. The Heavenly Father has given the Son of God to me to be responsible for. So what's going to happen now is the Son of God is going to get on Joseph the Father's camel, and you're going to go back to Nazareth with me today. Are we clear? Please. And he's like, parents, I have stuff to do. He's like, you've got to mow the yard. That's what you've got to do. Now I've got to redeem the world after you mow the yard. But notice what it says. And he went down with them. And he came to them. And he came to Nazareth and what? What does that say, teenagers? They're like, that's Spencer. He was submissive to his sinful parents that understood something of who he was, but not nearly completely. And so that calls us to be followers of Christ, is to be submissive to the parents that God has given to us, no matter how sinful, how much they don't understand us. Respect them. Honor them. Be submissive to them. Okay. Now, Brother Danny said when up here we're going to sing that song, he said I was preaching on, you know, how children honor their father and mother. And certainly we're talking about that. But you realize we stop being a child, but you never stop being someone's child. And that, so it includes all of us. All of us are someone's child. So we also have to deal with how adults honor their parents. Adults honor their parents through provision. Through provision. When we're growing up, when we're little, we are dependent. We're dependent on our parents to take care of us. Then we grow up, we become independent, but something happens to our parents. They start becoming less and less independent over time. The physical ailments come up, the eyesight. You have to deal with issues like, well, are we going to take the keys away because they're not going to be able to, they're not safe driving, and there may come a time where you have to deal with, you know, they can't really take care of themselves anymore. Are we going to work with them? Are we going to trust a nursing home to take care of them, assisted living, and those kind of things? What do we do as adults? How do we honor our parents? Well, I think, first of all, we include them in our lives. It's so easy to grow up, and as I said before, to focus on our own kingdom and our own children and our own little world, that we even set our adults, our adult parents outside of that kingdom so that, well, they've got their thing, we've got our thing. No, no. You're in their kingdom. They raised you up. They shaped you into who you are. So bring them in. If they can't drive, bring them to baseball game. Bring them to football games. Watch, you know, bring them so they see their grandchild in the band and cheerlead and those kinds of things. You know, take care of them. Love them. And there is going to come a time if they live long enough, you do have to make those hard decisions about what do we do with them. We can't take care of them anymore. What are we to do? Well, don't just throw them in a nursing home and check out, thinking, well, good, this is the easiest way because I can live my life. Somebody else can take care of them. Now, you may have to use nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Those are perfectly fine. Thank the Lord for them and for those who do a good job in those. But you honor your parents even in the nursing home. You honor your parents all the way to the grave. My father taught me a lot of things. And he was far from perfect. But the one thing that he taught me to do well, by example, was honoring his mama. My dad was raised on a dairy farm in the South Mississippi by his mama. And she had three children. She had a husband who got sick very early and died. So she ran a dairy farm by herself with three young children. And one day, I was talking to my dad as an adult. We were up at the farm. It's not a dairy farm anymore, but we were up there. And I was back home. And I said, Dad, why did you after college come back here and build a life here? And he said, well, my two siblings, they were older siblings. They left. One went in the nursing and in the medical field somewhere else. And one went in the army and moved around. He said, I realized someone was going to have to take care of my mom. So I came back, and he's married with my wife, and I decided to find a way to make a living here because this is where Mama was, this is where my mom was. And he did. I can't remember growing up. I don't think I can remember a single day that my father didn't stop by my mama's house. Just stick his head in. Just to say, hey. How you doing? You okay? Having a good day? That kind of thing. And then when she got a little bit older and couldn't do some of the things that she was doing when she was working, he found a place for her at his work. He was an insurance agent. He owned an insurance business. He still does. And he put her in as receptionist. He just made a little room. You'll be receptionist. And he hired her for that. When it got where she couldn't travel for that, he had started a quail preserve and where we hunted quail. And he took her and he trained her how to raise quail, how to hatch quail, how to feed them and water and that kind of thing. And that was her job. A couple of years ago when my mama, had a stroke. And we thought she was going to die. I never seen my father cry before. But I was the pastor in the family, and all the other family had kind of said goodbye. And my dad went back in, and he asked me to come in with him. And he leaned over her bed. I mean, it was just tears just pouring like a river. It was, to be kind of frank, it was uncomfortable for me because it was my dad, and I'd never seen this side of my dad before. And she was lay there unconscious, and he said, it may be time for you to go to heaven, but you will always be my passenger in the truck at the farm. I will always have a seat for you. And he wept and he wept and he wept. And I just stood there in the side of the room. And we asked God to give her a little more time. And he did. He did. We had to put her in a nursing home there in Tylertown. And you know, today, there's not a single day that goes by that he doesn't stop by and see his 90-year-old mother. I called him yesterday. Hey, how are y'all doing? No one, everybody's back. He said, oh, we're doing fine. We just came in from playing golf. We just walked in to see Mama. Here, talk with her. That happens all the time. That's honor. It's respect. It's like he didn't always agree with Mama, but he always honored her. And we can do that. We must do that as well. All right. And by the way, Jesus did that. On the cross, paying for the sins of the world. He looks down, and who does he look to? He sees his mother Mary, and he sees John. He said, John, behold your mother. Mary, mother, behold your son. What's he saying? I can't take care of her anymore. John, you do it. You've got to do it. He's asking her to take, asking him to take care of her. That's what adults, parents do. And by the way, I think this is probably kind of a side note. I know that was heavy. But I see this happen all the time. And I struggle with this as well. Wives, I know you have a mother-in-law. Okay? And I know you don't always agree with your mother-in-law. But be very careful about asking your husband to disagree and to criticize his mama. Because he's got a God-given responsibility to honor her. And husbands, the same way with you. Be very careful about asking your wife to criticize her mom, her dad. You know what? One day you're going to be a mother-in-law, maybe. One day you're going to be a father-in-law. And how do our children learn how to respect and honor their parents? In many ways, from how we respect and honor ours. So if you want your children to respect and honor you, then you respect and honor your parents. Okay. Moving on here. Third, quickly, why should we honor our parents? There are at least two different reasons given in Scripture. One of them is in our text in Exodus 20, but both of them are seen in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. So we're going to see those. And by the way, it's not because they're blood kin. Yeah, that's kind of the quick read. Why do we honor? Well, they're my parents. They're my blood. That's not a biblical tenet. The blood kin relation in the Bible is a very relationship. It's adoption is a key central principle in Scripture. How do you get in the kingdom of God? Through adoption. How do you honor your father? Through adoption. Okay. So let's move into this. First of all, we should honor our parents because number one, parents represent God to their children for a time. Represent God to their children. Going back to this passage in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents for, what does it say? For they are blood? No. It says, for this is right. It is the right thing. God has set up this order. God has set up this levels of authority. This ladder of authority, if you will. There's God, there's your parents, and then there's you. So he says, this is right for you to do that. So as little children obey, it's right. For teenagers, respect, it's right. For children, for adults, provide for your parents. It's right. Honor them. God intends for the one who raises you to have the authority over you, to raise you to be a worshiper. That's what we are called to be for our children. Parents that raise them not just to be moral people so that our children don't give us problems, we're never in trouble. No, we want them to walk with God. We want them to love Jesus. We want them to live for the glory of God in their own faith. That's what we want. Look, if you'll see here, it talks about them being raised up. Honor your father and your mother. Down at the end of that, where it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, raise them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So what does that mean? I think there's a lot of ways to raise children. There's only one way to raise up children. That's our goal, to raise them up. We want them, they're going to start out leaning on our faith. But listen to me, parents, you don't always want your children leaning on your faith for faith. All right. They start out doing that because you're teaching them, you're growing them, you're pointing them to Christ. But you want to raise them up so that they're no longer dependent upon you to know God. They start out with your faith, but we want them to end up with their faith and their convictions and their lives bringing glory to God. Raise them up. And look what he says on how to do this. Verse 4. Bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline and instruction. The perfect balance of discipline and instruction is what brings them up. And you can get out of balance with that. If you're over-disciplined on one side and under-instruct, what do? You kind of keep your thumb on your children so that they never really get out from under you. And some of you are like that today. Even though you're living your own life, you feel like you're still under the thumb of your parents. And then if you over-instruct and under-discipline, well, then you show them the way to go, but never teach them and free them to go in the way that they should go independent of us. So it's that perfect balance. We discipline them as they grow. We instruct them so that they'll know how to live the lives and why they should live for the glory of God. And look what happens if we don't do that. What is the opposite of bringing up your children in discipline and instruction? We'll look back at this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the opposite of bringing them up to love Jesus. It's provoking them to anger. Because your children were made to love God. They were made to live in relationship with God. They were made to strive. They walk with Jesus. And you know people, you know children, you know some of your friends that are just always angry. They're always frustrated. And the reason is there's a hole in their heart that no matter what they've tried, they've never filled. It's because that's a God-shaped hole, as Blaise Pascal said. It's a God-shaped vacuum. It's looking for something. And their parents never taught them what was to fill their heart. And of course, we rely on the Holy Spirit to do that. And that's not I know that's not a guarantee that many times we do. And God doesn't work exactly like we want them to. But by and large, if we bring them up, it's a general principle to love the Lord. Then when they get angry, they'll know why. So raise them up to walk with the Lord. Understand your role. Teach them to understand the ways of God. And also understand this. That what our parents teach us as we honor them is for our good. I don't agree with you. It's okay. You don't have to agree with me. But what I do for my children is for their good. Honoring your parents is the second aspect. Not only do they represent God to us, but honoring parents leads to blessing, which is what it means, the last part of this, where it says that honor your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise. What's that promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This doesn't mean that if you honor your mom and your dad, then you're not going to get killed in a car wreck when you're early, when you're young or anything like that. That's not what it means. What it means is if you live a life where you honor God through honoring your parents, you're going to live a life of blessing. The life of the living long is connected to the land, living long in the land. All right. Now, what was the land? It was the promised land. And that was God's blessing to his children. That's where God was bringing his children. So what he's saying to us here, that if you'll live a life of the wisdom that your parents hand down to you as they seek to glorify God in raising you, you know what? You're going to avoid a lot of foolish sinfulness that ultimately brings suffering and destruction in your life. So it leads to blessing. And finally, and quickly, I need to move through this. How do we honor dishonorable parents? How do we honor dishonorable parents? That's a trick question. Because all parents are dishonorable. All of them are. Now, some sin more than others. Some made more mistakes than others. But we tend to think about honor and parents in relationship to the world. But you realize God is talking about in relationship to him as the Father. Well, every one of us can point to our parents and go, oh, they were good, but there's one area that just, everyone, even our good parents were dishonorable. Even the best of parents deserve death. If we got anything more than death, it's grace. It's because of the gospel. Tim Keller again helped me understand the secret of honoring our parents, and especially in relationship to dishonorable parents. It was so helpful. And it's not just dishonorable, it's just everything. He says this. He says, to honor parents, we've got to be free to get what we've needed from them, now from God, and stop blaming them for not being God. You think about that. See, they represented God to us at one point in our lives, but they failed. And we get mad because they failed. But that's not God. The only perfect parent you're ever going to find is your heavenly Father. Brother Mike preached last week about Luke 15 and how this rebellious child took his inheritance and he left and he gave it up in licentious living. And then he returns in repentance. And what's his father doing? He's just standing there with open arms. He says, come, you know, get the fatted calf, kill it, put the ring on the finger, put the coat on his back, you know, come on in. And he embraced him and he hugged him and he loved him. And all the time the child was trying to figure out, how am I going to say this to my dad so that I can restore this relationship? And what he learned was, is he didn't have to restore a relationship that was there, that it will restore, because when it comes to the Heavenly Father, there's nothing you have to prove to him. He accepts you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't wait for us to get right and worthy. We'll never be worthy. He loves us for who we are. He gave His Son to save us from our sin. This is the only perfect Father. Every other father, every other mother, if you're looking to them to be God, they're going to be massive failures to you. And some of you are angry at your parents right now. And what Keller is saying, what I think this scripture is pointing us to, is that we've got to be able to say, you know what, Mom, Dad, you represented God to me for some time. And you taught me some things about God. I'm very thankful. You showed me a lot of ways how to walk with God. And I'm thankful for that. But I've got to let you go. I've got to cut you loose. I've got to be free to get what I was getting from you from God and stop blaming you for not being God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is really the only true way to honor your parents. It's to forgive them in the same way the Heavenly Father forgave you. Jonathan Edwards, let me close with this. Jonathan Edwards, an American Puritan. As he was dying, one of his daughters was there. The rest of his children, his wife was not there. And he said to his daughter Lucy, he said, I know I won't last the night. So he turned to her and he said, take this down. And this is what it was. He said, first of all, tell my wife that the uncommon union which has so long subsisted between us, I think is a spiritual one. And therefore, it is one that will last forever. And he said, I want you to tell your other brothers and sisters that it's about time that they look to a father, big F, who does not die. Now, Edwards was a great father. He had strong children. He had strong grandchildren. But at the end, he had to remind them, I'm not your real father. I'm just your blood father. I'm just the one here that was to be a channel of God's grace. But I am not the source of God's grace. You want to honor your parents? Stop expecting them to be God. And get what you need, not from them, but from the Heavenly Father who's always perfect. And that means for some of you, it means you got to get on the phone and you need to call your parents, your adult parents, and say, I'm sorry. Some of you teenagers, you need to go to your parents this afternoon and say, man, I talked to you the way we had that fight. I'm sorry. If you don't know Christ here, what that means is this is an open invitation for you to run into the loving arms of the Heavenly Father, who doesn't wait for you to get clean, but cleans you through the blood of His Son.